Last week in the National Interest, we asked whether the growing popularity of wireless technology undermines the business case for the national broadband network. If we're all going Wi-Fi, then what's the point in spending bucket loads of money to cable up homes and businesses with superfast broadband? The debate continued on our website. George was pleased that the National Interest exploded the myth of an either-or choice between wireless and broadband, when in fact we need both.
Even though Peter Mears wanted the discussion to feed on the polarity of the which is better argument, both guests explained that our broadband requirements will encompass mobile and fixed devices for all sorts of applications. The major leap this program made is to say why wireless services are not only complementary to, but also part of, the NBN plan. No matter which wireless technology is used, the same limitations come into effect: congestion, distance versus speed, weather. Having a fibre backbone that does not have these limitations is good infrastructure for our country.
However, John puts the anti-NBN case. He says we'll be spending billions to build capacity that households just won't need.
The need for data rates of around 100 megabits per second in the domestic environment in the foreseeable future is zero. How many high bandwidth applications will one home have running at the one time? And let's not pretend that health monitoring and power management are amongst them. These are low bandwidth applications. And no, the proportion of the population needing video conferencing for education or anything else will not be so great as to justify the cost of ubiquitous fibre. So, are we spending billions on fibre just for multiple entertainment streams used in a handful of homes?
Bernie holds a similar view.
Looks like we'll be spending $47 billion to boost Foxtel's profit and kill off video stores. With the change to smartphones and tablets instead of PCs, proper analysis of traffic would show most people only need short and small bursts of data for email, a few tweets, and not large web page connects. Oh, and another thing seldom mentioned by the NBN Brigade, they claim hospitals, universities and industries will benefit, but most already have high-speed fibre services and have had for years.
Bob took me to task for the price tag I put on the broadband rollout.
In his introduction, Peter Mears said that the NBN was going to cost close to $60 billion over the next decade. Where did he get such an outrageous figure? This is more than twice the $27 billion price that the NBN actually will cost. I've listened to the National Interest every week for over 20 years and have never before heard such misinformation from the presenter as this.
$27 billion, $47 billion, $60 billion. What is the correct figure? The government-commissioned Greenhill Caliburn Review estimates a capital outlay of $36 billion for the NBN, operating expenses to 2020 of $8 billion, and decommissioning and infrastructure payments of $13.7 billion. That's mostly money paid to Telstra for its copper wires. If you add those figures up, you get $57.7 billion, or close to $60 billion, in my words. However, perhaps my introduction was misleading, since I said the NBN will cost close to $60 billion, and I may have given the impression that this was the amount of taxpayers' dollars which will be spent. Of course, once it's up and running, the NBN will also generate revenue, and that income will reduce the overall cost to the public purse. I hope that makes things clearer. We had a generally positive response to my interview with West Australian politician and former Navy diver Paul Papalia, who says that imposing ever harsher sentences does nothing to reduce crime. He proposed a justice reinvestment strategy. Use the money that would be spent building more prisons to develop the communities from which most offenders come. Leslie's comments were representative of the feedback we received.
Listening to the program just now, I could only think, hooray, someone is speaking sense at long last. These sentiments have been in my mind for some time, as I've seen with dismay the rise and rise of the justice, or rather prison industry, and its disastrous consequences. Hopefully this forward thinking will be contagious and more politicians will see the benefits of this attitude.
If you missed the interview, there is a transcript on our website, abc.net.au/rn/national interest, where you can click the Add Your Comment tag to join the National Interest conversation, or call the feedback line 1300 936 222. The National Interest is produced by James Paniki, technical production by John Jacobs. I'm Peter Mayers. On ABC Radio National, it's coming up to the news.